If you are new and visiting with us, we've been going through a series entitled At the Master's Feet. And at the Master's Feet, we've been going through some of his parables. And this evening, we're going to wrap up our series with the lost sheep. Just a reminder that a parable is a short story from Jesus that just packs a punch. It's a little story, and tonight, actually, I asked you all earlier in the week, if you get our sermon enhancers, to read the full context. Read chapter 13, 14, 15, so that you can kind of get the flow and kind of get the idea of what's going on, because context is everything. Everybody say, context is everything. Context is everything, and some people don't know. They just kind of read the Bible in snippets. And it's intentionally woven together to make a more dramatic point if we're really paying attention to what's going on. So in these preceding chapters, we get some of the chilling passages. We get some of the challenging passages that come from Jesus. Now, most of us don't like the challenging ones because it makes us stop and think. Wait a minute. Am I really real? Am I really sincere? Am I just a nominal Christian? Am I a casual Christian? Or am I a committed Christian? And let me just kind of help you with, as we move into our scripture, we're going to be contrasting, or not we, Jesus contrasts the Pharisees with these sinners. Now, The Pharisees were a Jewish sect. They were a ruling class. They were wealthy, and they did everything right. They had all these laws that they had to subscribe to, but because they felt like because they were Pharisees, then they were right and everybody else was wrong. And in fact, one of the stories that Jesus tells is about two men going into the temple to pray. One of them, a known sinner, said, "Lord, please have mercy upon me, for I am a sinful man." The other one stood up and said, "Oh, I thank thee, O wonderful, loving Father, that you didn't make me like him." And Jesus said, only one went away justified that day. And it wasn't the one who thought he was all that. It wasn't the one who had his own self-assurance that he was looking down his nose at everybody else. In fact, tonight, if you've ever felt less than tonight's your night. If you've ever been the outsider, if you've ever been marginalized, then you can just see the arms of Jesus just kind of sweeping in and drawing you into heaven's door. One of the stories he tells us about is about the narrow door. He's telling them to choose the narrow door. Now, this one flies right in the face of casual Christianity, because somehow the word's gotten out and around our country that if you're just a nice person and you give a little bit towards Jesus, or you give a little bit toward the church, you're all good. You don't have to do anything else. You're A-okay. Now, what this is saying is, if you're going in the flow with everybody else and you're looking around and you're feeling really good about yourself, you may want to check yourself to see which road you're on. Because the road to heaven is narrow, and few find it. Gulp. Wait a minute. This isn't some ooey-gooey, mushy-type Jesus. This is somebody who's separating. A few weeks ago, we did the sheep and the goats. And Jesus said, I'm the gate. I'm the one that's going to come in and judge one day, and I'm going to separate the sheep from the goats. He also talks about his lament over Jerusalem. And I actually had the opportunity to be there a few years ago about this bluff that overlooked the valley before Jerusalem. And it would have been when he was coming in and he looked over and he saw Jerusalem below. And he just laments, oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, if you had only known. And I wonder how many people have heard that call and yet they've turned away. Many times Jesus is actually separating the herd. He's separating the fold. He says, anybody puts his hand to the plow and turns away is not worthy the kingdom of God. Anybody who doesn't hate his mother and father, what? I thought he was all about love. He is about love, but he's making a point. If you put your mother and father above him, then your priorities are out of whack. And we need to focus in. We need to get right. He spoke about a dinner with a Pharisee. And when you were invited to the dinner, it was kind of known about who were the important people and who were the not so important people. And so you would have your place settings, and the ones who were lofty, they would take the place at the head of the table because they were the important people. And then as it kind of went down the line, but Jesus talks about it's more important to be humble. The last shall be first, and the first shall be last. And then he tells a story about the great banquet filled with great excuses. Anybody ever given an excuse before? Yeah. Anybody? And it was a great excuse. It was a great excuse. And Jesus said, there's a lot of great excuses out there. But if I offer the banquet and I'm here telling you it's time to come into the banquet, don't tell me you got something else to do. Wait, let me do this. Let me do this. Let me take care of my father. And he said, you know, let the dead bury the dead. No man is worthy. If he puts his hand to the plow, meaning he's chosen this course, and then he turns back. And what he's saying is the worldly kinds of things. He said, man, I have a kingdom you have no idea about, of what my Father has prepared for us. So don't shrink back now. Don't take it lightly now. Take it very serious. The road is narrow, and few will find it. Whew. All right, everybody take a breath. Whew. I'm going to teach you, it's really kind of a kid's song, but it's one of those that gets in your head, and I've been singing it all week. If you don't get anything else out of what you want to be, you just want to be a sheep. Ba, 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 ba. All right? Now, you're going to join me. You're going to be the band. You're the percussion system. So I want everybody to get out their snappers and start snapping. I just want to be a sheep. Ba, 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 ba. I just want to be a sheep. Ba, 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 ba. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. I don't want to be a Pharisee. I don't want to be a Pharisee. Because they're not fair, you see. I don't want to be a Pharisee. All right, join me. I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to be a hypocrite. Because they're not hip with it. I don't want to be a hypocrite. What do you want to be? I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. All right. Yay, give yourselves a hand, man. That was awesome. All right, so we just want to be a sheep. We don't want to be a Pharisee. We don't want to be a hypocrite. And there's even another verse that says, I don't want to be a Sadducee because they are so sad, you see. And besides, you don't want to be a Sadducee. They didn't even believe in the afterlife. It's like, no, we definitely don't want to be one of those. But sometimes, when I'm more annoyed than others, then sometimes I'll compare the church to the Pharisees. Because sometimes we get a little bit heady. We get a little bit full of ourselves. We're pretty sure we're okay. We're the good people. We're the Christ people. And so we feel like everybody else is bad, but we're the good ones. And yet, we're going to talk about it in just a little bit, about if we're being sheep. Let me go ahead and give it to you. If we're being sheep, we're called to be humble. That's what we're called to be. And so we're going to work on humility. But let's take a look at our passage before we get too far into the outline here. All right, we're going to take a look at Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. Jesus tells the story about the parable of the lost sheep. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around him to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." And then Jesus told him this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And then he calls the friends and the neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous Pharisees, persons who do not need to repent. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right, I slipped in Pharisees because that's the context of the passage. And because they were so proud of themselves, because they kept all the laws, they didn't feel like they needed to repent. They didn't need to ask Jesus for forgiveness for anything. For what? I'm already good. And so let's take a look at our outline this evening. And the first one is, the sheep are humble creatures. Everybody say humble. Some of you said humble. There's a H in it. Yeah, so. And actually, I've looked it up. You can say it either way. You can write it, you know, humble, whatever. I say humble because there's a H in it. All right. The sheep are humble creatures. And basically, here's my byline, the tagline that goes along with that. Snarky Christians need not apply. All right? If you just think you're all that in a bag of chips and Jesus just ought to be glad to add you on his list, you just need not apply. It's going back to the contrast with the Pharisees, and the Christian know that they need a Savior. Pharisees were very devout, religious people who thought they could earn salvation by following all the laws. But not every law can answer every moral question out there. And so they often misused the gaps to their own advantage and usually over someone else. But the whole reason for this passage is because Jesus was meeting and eating with known sinners. Now let's roll back a few thousand years and let's just look at the culture. Now, many of you, have you ever heard of sitting Shiva? For the Jewish cultures, if somebody does something wrong and they refuse to repent, they turn their backs on them. And they just like, "You are no longer a part of my family. You're not my son. You're not my daughter." They turn away from them. And instead, we get Jesus here. And instead of turning away from the sinners, he turns toward them. He embraces them. And to actually have dinner with someone was to say, "We're good. What you're doing is fine. I'm okay. You're okay. We're all okay. Let's go eat dinner together." And yet here was Jesus having dinner with known sinners. How dare he? How could he possibly do that? And so the Pharisees are just convinced this is not the Son of God. This is not the Messiah, because he would know the rules. And the rules say you don't eat with sinners. And just look at him. You can almost hear the disgust in their voice. Oh, man, I can't believe it. He's over there eating with sinners. And yet, I think it's the heart of Jesus. And actually, Paul speaks to it in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, "The letter of the law kills, but the Spirit gives life." And not only did the Pharisees have Jewish law, but they had added some like 600 other laws about what they could do, what they could not do. And it was like almost, it seemed like impossible. And yet, that's how they were trying to bring in the kingdom of God, saying, if we could get everybody to follow these laws, we can go home to heaven. We can be with God forever and ever if we would just get right. Turn to somebody and say, just get right. Just come on, man, already. Let's go. And yet Jesus says it's the letter of the law kills. And so they were using it to actually divide the people. They were using their laws, they were using their rules, and they were telling everybody else, you're a sinner, you're a sinner, you're a sinner. You're going to hell, you're going to hell, you're going to hell. Anybody ever send somebody to hell? Try. You can't do it, it's not your job. But we try to encourage Jesus which one to send to heaven and which one to send to hell. But what Jesus is doing is he's actually entering in on their ground. And I love this picture of Jesus. Every time somebody says, this group is less than, this group has no business being here, these people are sick, these people are injured, these people have sinned, keep them out, keep them out, keep them out, because we're trying to catch get our church perfect. And Jesus, while they're all saying, we're building walls to keep all the sinners out, Jesus is going out and fetching them. And he's bringing them in. He's healing the sick. He's healing the lame. And if you were sick or lame, then the priest declared you unclean. Because in that day, if you were injured or lame, then obviously God hates you because you've done something wrong. And so they would push them out. They would cast them out. And every time they would cast them out, Jesus would go back and bring them back. And so you begin to hear the heart of Jesus that how much he loves those people who feel less than, marginalized, pushed out. And I pray that we would be a church that would never think we've got it all together and nobody else does. I pray that we would be a church of humility and love. And if somebody says, well, I can't come in, I'm a sinner. How many times have you invited somebody and say, well, if we ever show up, the walls are coming down, yeah? And he's like, no, there's always room for one more sinner. There's always room, well, it's full of hypocrites. It's like, well, you know what? There's always room for one more hypocrite. You know, come on in. If the church were perfect, none of us, including me, could be there. And it's we're the marginalized. We're the ones who recognize that we're sinful. We're the ones who get cut to the heart and say, I need a Savior. I need somebody. And so if you feel less than, if you feel marginalized, if you feel like I have totally messed up my life, I have led people to Christ later in life, and their eyes just come open, proverbially the scales fall off, and they go, why didn't I just know this when I was 18? My entire life could be it could be different. It's like, well, you know it now. And besides, somebody probably tried to tell you when you were 18, but you weren't interested in listening back then. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right, so whenever you come in, Jesus is saying, you're welcome, come in. But we have got to be the ones who are humble enough to be able to say, I can't get there on my own. I cannot be good enough. I have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I need a Savior. Number two is that sheep get lost. Now, I love many of the comparisons to the church to being the sheep. And can we just say sheep are incredibly dumb characters? I mean, they're just dumb animals. They're not the brightest of God's bunch, okay? And yeah, amen. Yeah. And yet sometimes sheep get lost. Sometimes they see greener pastures and they can like, ooh, do, 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 do. Ooh, look over there. Now they were probably assigned buddies to begin with, like, okay, know who your buddy is, hang out with your buddy, stay with the group, stay with the group, stay with the group, right? Because there's always wolves out there. There was people trying to steal sheep. I mean, that's why you had, shepherds and all that to protect the sheep. But in order for the sheep to be protected, you had to stay with the flock. And yet, invariably, there's always somebody who wanders off. And I kind of liken that to people who hear the good news. They hear about Jesus, and yet they're still not totally committed there. Or if you're like me, my spiritual life didn't look like this. it kind of went. And, you know, and yet we keep coming back, and we keep coming back, and we keep working on getting it right and getting better. And yet sometimes we look over there and say, who, squirrel? Let's go that way. Who, greener pastures? That grass looks really good. Let's go over there. And so periodically the sheep would get separated from the fold. And then it was time to go back home. And so they would be headed back home. And yet there would be some sheep that are lost, some sheep that are just left out there. And I think what we need to see here comes number three, is that God searches for the lost sheep. If you've ever been out there, felt like you were in the fold, maybe you grew up in church, and then if you're like 9/10 of the other Christians, you fell away in college. And then you got married. Some people have kids first, and then they get married. And then sometimes they get married, and then they have kids. But sometimes around 4, the kids are starting things like, what's Easter? Why do we do that? And the parents are like, whew, we need to get back to church. Because I don't know the answers, and they need to know the answers, so I'm going to take them back to church. You know, we need that. But what I want you to hear is, even though you've sinned, even though you've fallen short of the glory of God, even though you looked in greener other pastures, and the fact is, God continues to search. Peter tells us that God is being patient. He's waiting for the full number to come in. The other thing I want to tell you about sheep is that sheep are valuable. They knew each one of them, and the sheep knew the shepherd's voice. And so the shepherd actually leads the sheep. Goats, you have to drive them. They're like cows. You have to herd them from the backside. Sheep, the shepherd can go out front and keep calling to them, and the sheep know his voice, and they follow him. But it's important for us to understand that even though we have strayed, even though we've gotten far away from God, God is still calling to us. He's out there. He's looking. He's searching and inviting us to come home. How many of you ever heard of the Qumran Scrolls? Anybody? Okay, 6. Okay, that was more like 2, really, but I'm just giving you the benefit of the doubt. All right, the Qumran Scrolls were found in 1947 by a Bedouin shepherd. And they, one of the falls of Jerusalem, the particularly the Essenes got pushed out, and they fled out into the desert and out into the caves of Qumran. And then while they lived out there waiting for a more peaceful time to happen, they had the scriptures with them, and they buried them in clay pots inside of these caves, and there they stayed for 2,000 years. But there was 2,000 years later, another Bedouin shepherd comes along, and his herd is scattering. And one of the tricks they used to do is to pick up a rock and throw it on the far side of the sheep so it would rattle and make a noise and scare the sheep, and they would turn around and come running home. You ever had one of your kids just kind of like venturing out all tough and stuff, and then all of a sudden somebody else comes along and they turn back and go, mama, 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 daddy, daddy, safe, you know, stranger, danger, you know. The sheep do that. And so they would throw a rock over their heads so that they would get scared and come running back to the shepherd. Well, apparently this was a dumber than usual sheep, because he's throwing the rocks, 1, 2, 3, and it's plink, plink, plink. And then the next one, he throws it, and he goes, plunk. And he's like, that was weird. And so he goes investigating in the caves, and he finds these Qumran scrolls. It is primarily the entire Old Testament that was likely hidden in those caves 150 to 250 years before Christ. And so it corroborates the scrolls that have been handed down to us through the Jewish community over the years, full texts of like Isaiah. full texts that were there, and at least pieces of almost every book in the Old Testament, which corroborates that what we have today is still what they were using over 2,000 years ago, which tells us it's the same scriptures that Jesus was using to reach and teach people over 2,000 years ago. And so it's kind of cool. But that's how they found him. Throw the rock over his head and frighten him to come back this way. But like the sheep in our story and in the story of the Qumran scrolls, sometimes God uses different ways of trying to reach us. He does tell us in the New Testament that sometimes he allows us to follow our own path. We have free will. And sometimes when you choose your own will, you choose your own way, and life doesn't work out for you, you can't turn around and say, "Why did you do this to me, God?" It's like, "Hey, I tried to call you. You just didn't hear. You wouldn't hear. You didn't come." And so he would use different tactics, including let your sins run their natural course. And let's just go ahead and admit that sin is fun. Otherwise, it wouldn't be interesting at all. And yet, if you give into it, God tells us no for a reason. He's not telling us, "Hey, there's something fun over there. Don't go do that." What do kids want to do? "Well, that's the one thing you said not do. That must be good. I'll go do that." But the problem is sin leads us down a darker and darker path until we're separated from God totally. And so God tells us for a purpose and for a reason. And sometimes people, maybe some of you, have woken up someday and said, "I've made a mess out of my life. God, I'm so sorry." And with that, I want you to lead to number four. So all heaven rejoices. One of the stories that comes in after this one, you have the, I call it the triple play. Or any hockey fans? Hat trick? Yeah, there you go. How about them Lightning? Yeah. We don't get too many good years, so we got to take them when we got. The Lightning are doing well, in case you don't have any idea what's going on with the Lightning. They're doing very well. But a hat trick is when you score three goals in a game. And I don't know why, but people throw their hats in the ring, so it's called a hat trick. In baseball, it's a triple play. Very rare, but very special. Well, Jesus gives us a triple play. And that's why I say context, context, context. He says, you have the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, the parable of the lost son. And in all three of these cases, he's trying to make the same point. God cares about you. He loves you. And sheep get lost from now and again. And he cares so much for you that he will seek you out and bring you back. And when you do come back, number four, all heaven rejoices at the one who returns safely. We're already a part of an eternal kingdom, and coming up in March, we're going to do a heaven series where we get excited about a better picture, a better understanding of what heaven is like. But I want you to understand right now, you're already a part of an eternal kingdom. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, you're joining God's team. In a sense, you have come home. And anytime one gives their life to Christ, anytime one comes home to Jesus Christ, here's cool. Not only do people around here celebrate, I've been speaking with a man who's kind of struggling with his faith, but he's open. And I told him the other day, I said, "Man, if you come forward, we're both going to be in tears. That's just going to be such a happy day and such an exciting day. And if you think we rejoice, I also want you to think all heaven rejoices." When the sheep and the shepherds, a lot of times the sheep were not held by individuals, but they were held by communities. And there were several shepherds that were sent out to go out and tend the flock. So that when one got lost, the other shepherds would take the flock home, back to safety, back to protection. But then they would stand on the lookout, waiting for that last shepherd to come in. And many times what they would do when they go out and they would search high and low because the sheep were valuable. And when they find them, he puts them on his shoulders and then starts making the long walk home. And yet, can't you imagine when somebody's watching at the gate and they're watching far off and they see a shepherd and they recognize that he's got the lost sheep on his shoulders and he's carrying them back home. And then suddenly the whole town, the whole village just starts celebrating because one who was lost has been found and they're coming home. I want you to know that if you've ever felt less than, if you felt marginalized, if you know that you're a sinner and you've humbled yourself before God and say, God, I'm so sorry. I strayed for you. I'm so sorry that I got lost for a time. I got lost for a season. But I know that I belong with you and I belong with your family. And I just want to be a sheep. Ba, 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 ba. Amen.